is an encore broadcast of Sovereign Minds.
Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
And shout there, buddy.
Okay.
Boom shakalaka boom. I'm having all kinds of
boom shakalaka boom.
Kind of have all kinds of weird stuff going on with my computer. It's like really weird. Couldn't be a Chinese.
I was going to say, what are you using, Google?
No, I'm using Brave, but it's just kind of weird stuff going on. Anyway, today's Sunday, March 20th, 2022.
Scary.
Yeah, I know. Good grief. Doesn't it, it just gets worse and worse, it seems like. We want to remind you to listen to our podcasts on Monday afternoons. They get loaded up on Rumble and iPods, and you can go to Red, White, and Blue print. No, I mean,
I think it's on
mountaintopmedia.com.
Tuesdays at, my ears and stuff. 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
You can go to mountaintopmedia.com and listen to all of the great podcasts over there. Patriot State of Mind, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds. We're all a bunch of minds. I'm here to.
Well, there's M-I-N-E and there's M-I-N-D.
Yeah, there you go. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda. A little slow on the draw today just because, I was out here struggling with my computer, but, she is the ball of endless energy, the immovable object, an unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes. She has heard more BS than a BOS meeting.
And that's the truth.
Boy, that is the truth.
You can't get more than what we have at our BOS.
The kid is not here, so he's not rocking around the clock. But the guardian of the magic button of silence, the librarian of bumper, the time bender of breaks, keyboard weaponry, spreadless producer, extraordinaire, Trellis!
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. And the crowd went, yay!
And they should be announcing boxing matches or something.
Why not? It's good money.
Yeah, anything's better than this gig right here. We're getting paid zip. Zilch or Zippo, the big goose.
Yeah. El Zero.
Well, I guess
we get paid in dividends for doing the right thing for our community.
And exposure.
Exposure.
I don't know if that's quite the right term. That kind of sounds funny. And exposure.
I mean, I've heard of exposing myself before, but it was different.
No, in the art community, I do music sometimes, and they're like, hey, I'll do it for free. I'll give you exposure.
Yeah.
You can't buy rent with exposure.
Yeah, I heard that was a different kind of art.
Oh, okay. I'm off. Bye.
Whoa. Okay, I got to try.
Yeah, boy. Well.
Let me try these.
Okay, she's changing out her ears.
Let's see if that works better.
Well, we might as well continue our conversation not our conversation, but their conversation that they were having about the DA, Stephanie Bridget. I've been listening kind of off and on, and it's pretty disturbing what you're hearing about, like you say, it is the local good old boy club, and everybody kind of knows it, they talk about, the money and all this stuff, but who's funding all of these people? Bridget was
us?
Never, yeah, right.
Us?
Well, I guess Bridget was never elected. I didn't realize that either
until.
And she was appointed by Steve Carlton. How does that even work? So now you're appointed, you run unopposed, now you're the good old boy club forever. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, it's very disturbing, the decisions that she's made, and they went over that the last hour. You know, again, go back to the Carlos trial. What
Zapata,
about
yeah.
yeah the Zapata trial about making the call to go ahead and prosecute and some of the lame lame excuses that she uses for how she did that.
Well,
you know, is unbelievable.
You know, my favorite part was the part about, gee, I don't have nothing to gain from this. Why would I prosecute
somebody? Nobody told me to do it.
Except that they were all for the recall, right? They were all for the recall. They wanted Modi to be recalled, right? Except that what they were really trying to do, and anybody with a thinking brain knows, that they were trying to associate the red, white, and blueprint, which is not the recall.
And which, just so everybody knows, the recall didn't give red, white, and blueprint any money. Nor did the Shasta General Purpose Committee give them any money.
I know.
There's no
ties.
They're
completely separate. And Carlos Zapata was never a member of the recall.
Nor is he a member of the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
And he never helped out with anything at all, really.
Yeah.
It was all about the Red, White, and Blueprint Project, which is fine. You know, but they're all trying to, they were all, if you read the papers,
yeah.
if you read the headlines, everything that he did was trying to be associated as part of the recall. The militia,
yep.
all of it. It's all BS.
Just like the whole trial was a bunch of BS. I mean, from beginning to end, I mean, where do you start with the BS? Just trying to, you know, make a trial out of it.
Well,
I mean, hello.
But that's what they had to gain. That's what she's not talking about, is the fact is that Leonard Modi was pulling strings. He was pulling favors, probably. There's a lot of different reasons that it could be. But it was obvious that they were trying to get something on Carlos Zapata because he made the speech that went viral in front of the Board of
right.
Supervisors, which I applaud the guy for. I mean, he said something that everybody should have said or was thinking anyway about what was going on. You know, these guys, oh, you're just supposed to quietly go away into the night while you give up all your constitutional rights. And we're going to talk about Aaron Reznor here, and I think anybody who hasn't listened to that interview with by Martin Reed at Reed Between the Lines, you should go look at it. It's a long interview, but he's got it marked in sections. It's probably better to listen to, so you're not listening to the whole thing. But it's really obvious after a while that it is the good old boy club. You know, they talk
yeah.
about the money. Oh, the money from Reverge Anselmo. Oh, outside money. That's what's going to run all the elections from now on. But they don't talk about the inside money. Who's been running all the elections so far already? I mean, nobody talks about McConnell. Nobody talks about Emerson. Nobody talks about the fact that these guys are being supported, all them. Nobody talks about, you know, the fact that who's funding who.
And, right.
You know, and I've got
And the connection between Carlos Zapata and then Alyssa and then being investigated. I mean, come on. Go back to the recall stuff.
It's all bloody.
You know, okay, out of everything to prosecute and go after, you going to intimidate Alyssa and Ronin.
Which had nothing to do with the red, white, and blueprint.
Again.
I mean, they got interviewed by
yeah.
them because they're doing a documentary, but it was the recall was completely separate. The money was completely separate. You know, did we support red, white, and blue? Sure. Did they support us? Sure. Does that mean that they were us and we were them? That's like
no.
saying GM is Ford because they support motorized vehicles.
Or electric cars.
Whatever.
I know, I just...
You know, it's just... it's so.
And one thing more about the money you brought up, Reverge.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know that he donated to Baron Browning?
I heard
oh,
that.
Oh, no, he did.
Yeah, so he can do whatever he wants. But
right.
I bet if we start analyzing, you know, like Lee Salter, who's he donating
yeah.
to or, you know.
So how's that work for you folks out
yeah.
there? So anyhow.
So it's okay if they have inside the county sources of money that fund everything.
Yeah.
But anybody else, hey, pound sand. You're some kind of corrupt individual. Because the real deal is if they could get outside source money, they'd get that too. It's all about money for these people, power, and
power
all of that.
Power and money, yeah.
And for the citizens, it's about quit taking my rights away. Quit changing the rules for select groups of people.
The law.
Yeah, quit enforcing, supposed to be equal enforcement under the law. Why didn't Pinckney get slapped on the hand? Why did they even take any of this to trial? I mean, Pinckney was just as guilty as anybody. And everybody knows
that. Yeah, he didn't have any charges.
The restraining order that he had on Zapata got thrown out because, I mean, he doesn't bring any of this on himself by being a loudmouth idiot, does he? Yeah. He doesn't purposely try to stir up trouble, does he?
Oh, yes, he does. Him and his goons. I know that personally.
He doesn't.
At some of these meetings and stuff, they try to provoke you into doing anything.
Well, he can videotape it with his little camera.
Exactly, with his goons.
And they go, see.
Yep.
You know, while he calls your mom a name off camera.
Yeah. He's great at that. They're all great at that.
Yeah, they're good at that. They're good at stirring up trouble. And
they get
that.
Really pissed off when we don't engage or give them the time of day.
Well, you know, the real deal is I'm a little bit of a hothead, you know, and, I'm kind of glad I wasn't there at that point. I get angry, and with righteous anger because we should be angry.
There's times to be angry.
there's times to use your head. Sometimes I don't remember which one is which. But this whole thing is crap.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like, okay, so I'm going to play an interview from Aaron Reznor here, and I'm not going to play the whole thing.
So before we do, Aaron, I just want to say, so back to Stephanie Bridges, people need to know there is somebody else, is running to be elected.
There is? Jensen? Eric Jensen?
Yeah.
So maybe we need to look at him, because all of a sudden it's important for her to get elected. But then, we listened to the last program.
He's running.
Yeah, he's running.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting mixed signals here. He is running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there is a dog in the hunt. We need to look at both candidates. But, Stephanie Bridges' track record, as far as I can tell, has been pretty one-sided and favorable. It's like Terry talking about who changed the misfeasance or malfeasance to misfeasance. Well, we know it was the DA's office that recommended, and she didn't know anything about it. Had nothing to do with the fact that, another favor was coming in from Modi. Modi didn't call favors in or run everything, did he?
Right, and they were talking about, what was it, some kind of advisor, county advisors, that they couldn't make the determination or...
What are we paying them for?
So then it went back to...
The DA.
The DA to make the decision?
Right.
Yeah, what are we paying? And I'm sure their pay is quite well.
Well...
Like most of them up there.
So, anyway, I'm going to move on here, and I want to talk about this Aaron Reznor interview, and I think everybody should go look at it for themselves and make up their own mind. It's long, so you might want to piece it up. He's got it numbered in sections when you go to the website of it. And I dropped everything here, so it all came back. That's so weird.
And just so people know, Aaron Reznor is on city council, and she's getting ready. Well, she put her hat in the ring to run for board of supervisor.
Right.
Just to kind of give a little bit of background there for some folks that may not know that.
So I'm just, and you can go look at this interview at readbetweenthelines.substack.com. I'll post it on the chat room so that you can have it there, or I'll put it on Facebook as well, which I'm about ready to dump Facebook. I've had about enough of their crap, Facebook and YouTube. Pew, pew,
yeah, I mean, I look at it, but I don't really do anything with it, and I think more and more people are moving over.
It's ridiculous because the thing is that
censored so much, just like YouTube and all. Yeah.
Well, they censored me on YouTube for talking about a friend of mine who's got the shots, three of them, and he's back in the hospital again. You know, he got surgery the other day, and then Linda texted him and said, "Hey, how's he doing?" And he's back in the hospital. We don't know what.
So that was not.
That was this morning.
Okay, but it's not correct information. Is that what they censored you or kicked you off?
Well, they censored me because They just censored it. They said, yeah, it's misinformation.
Yeah, that's it. Misinformation. You know, I'm sorry. That's
so it's misinformation
for.
Because I say that a guy that I've known for 45 years or whatever,
we've known him a long time.
Yeah, that I've known for 45 years gets vaccinated with three vaccines, and then immediately afterwards, within a few days, weeks, whatever it was, has blood clots. And is now in the hospital fighting for his life. He goes through surgery. He makes it out. He's back now in the hospital, you know, and all we can do is pray and wish him the best. But he's the second person that we've known that has had nothing but problems with these vaccines. And we've got another study, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot more coming out about
I'm looking at one right now from the UK. This is a United Kingdom government report shows the fully vaccinated account for 92% of the COVID-19 deaths in England. Why is that not mainstream news? Or why are we, you know, it's kind of like Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah. No, that's not true. Oh, by the way, yes, it is true.
Yeah, they stole the election. They rigged it. They rigged it. I'll say it three times. They rigged it, they rigged it, they rigged it. And even if you don't believe they rigged the votes, they rigged the information getting out to the public.
Right.
They rigged the election. But we're just supposed to quietly say, oh, that's okay. We'll be subdued and peaceful and, not stand up for our rights because, you know, that American thing, you know, the patriotic deal, yeah, it doesn't really matter anymore. Let's just have a global world government so that we can all join hands in poverty.
Well, there is so much information coming about the vaccines and the boosters and the actual numbers of what's really happening to people are coming out more and more. They can't hide it anymore.
They can't hide it because there's too many alternative sources of information. So this is a new government report from the UK Health Security Agency provided COVID-19 stats statistics for England from February 7th to March 6th of 2022. That indicate that there were a total of 5,681 COVID deaths. A total of 5,216 deaths were vaccinated, while only 465 of the deaths were in the not vaccinated population. So if that doesn't wake you up,
right,
you're not very smart.
And I'm looking at one that actually comes right from the CDC that shows that there was an 84% increase in mortality from people that had the vaccines.
Let's just go get a shot because Pfizer, who's the most criminal organization in pharmaceuticals ever and has been fined so many times we can't even count them with billions of dollars in fines for being, criminals, let's just trust them and go get a shot so they can make $36 billion this year. What, are you freaking stupid?
Well, even with some of the information that's coming out from Pfizer themselves about the vaccines, they say that it wasn't a vaccine. And if they wouldn't have used the term vaccine, nobody would have got the jab. Huh. That's in their own records.
Yeah. So let's just all be good little sheep. You know, and so let's go back. Bring it back locally. You know, we're just supposed to be good little sheep down there at the Board of Supervisors and be totally respectful no matter how they take our rights away, no matter how they get rid of our Constitution. They say, we have to follow the laws mandated by Governor Newsom. Has he abused that at all?
No.
No, he hasn't abused his power at all, has he? He has, you know, 15 days to flatten the curve, supposed to get out of the emergency as quick as possible, has abused his power and circumvented the Constitution over and over and over again. Masks, vaccines, you know, all of it. But we're just supposed to go be respectful and make sure that we just go along with the program down at the County Board of Supervisors.
You. Thank you.
Now, that doesn't mean we need to do death threats, and that doesn't mean that we need to... You know, but I'm not going down there as a happy camper.
No, but we don't have to do death threats, but we need to express our feelings and our emotions about what they're doing and the liberties that they're taking away from us and the things that they're doing that aren't right.
Well, speaking of death threats.
What?
Death threats. You know, I mean, I'm going to go to this interview, and I want to talk about this with Aaron Reznor and this whole, oh, God, we're so scared up here. Oh, the death threats. Really? So the death threats only count if it's death threats to you guys. Nobody down in
nobody
the,
else.
Nobody else got any death threats, right?
No.
Nobody else got any death threats, and it's and I'm not advocating for death threats. All I'm saying is, you know, I'm so tired of this mamby-pamby, you know, gee, you know, we're being singled out, and, oh, it's so hard, you know, like, Mary, it's so hard to have to drive an hour and a half down to the meetings all the time, and I have to stay in my second house down there.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because it's just
everybody has
so
two houses
hard.
In Shasta County, don't you know that?
Yeah.
that's a tough life, Mary.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough because, you know, I mean, you know, so I want to.
So if it's that tough, just resign.
Right. All right, so I want to do this interview and then or do this clip.
Yeah, because we got about 5 minutes.
That's all.
All right, so let's do the clip right now and we'll play this, then we'll talk about it and I'll stop it. Here we go.
Because we actually have all of these things that we can't tackle. The reality is that this far side that maybe disagrees with you or I, they would love for us to continue to keep stirring.
The far side. See, we're not.
What is the far side?
That's us out of control radicals who disagree with them. See, she's trying to say that they're trying to split the right up. Well, yeah, like Modi was. He was a middle of the road Republican, wasn't he? Being supported by Marxists.
I'm a Republican. Just asking.
That's all they say. See, it doesn't matter what their policies, it doesn't matter what they do. You know, they don't stand up against the governor. They just go along with the program, but we're just supposed to roll over and not voice our opinions because it's so much nicer to do it that way. But here we go.
In this pot, because what we have going on at the moment is Republicans fighting Republicans and conservatives fighting with conservatives.
I disagree. I don't think Modi's a conservative.
You don't think that...
I don't think Modi's conservative.
You don't think that the left would love for us to fight over here?
Oh, of course they would, but specifically Modi.
I'm saying within our county, we have conservatives fighting conservatives.
Who aren't conservative, though.
And I will tell you that I'm a conservative. Yeah. I will tell you that
you
I'm
an
extremely
conservative
mm-hmm. person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have people who are saying things that are untrue about me, that are lies. And attempting to say that I'm not the person in which that I am in a really gross sort of way. And
a really gross sort of way. This is the old typical politician.
Either you're conservative or you're not.
This is the old typical politician of feel sorry for me. If I can't get you by intimidation, if I can't get you by being your friend, if I can't get you by this, then I will make you feel sorry for me so that you vote for me, and then I'll bat my little eyelashes and
my big eyelashes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like what? We're not talking about policies and what you do. All we're talking about is your personality and how you're being treated, right? Oh, but I'm conservative. You can't get elected in Shasta County without saying you're conservative because 65% of us are conservative.
It doesn't mean that I'm conservative just because I say it.
Modi's been saying he's been conservative for years while he follows every liberal policy that comes down the pipe.
Well.
Including the pipes. He's probably handing out the pipes.
He's beyond liberal. I don't know what you call him, but he's on the far side.
You see, it's not even liberal. It's not liberal. It's not fascist. It's not leftist. It's I'm in control, and you need to shut up and go back to work.
Yeah, and here's your Scooby biscuit.
Scooby biscuit. That's a good one. So let's listen to some more of Aaron. And see what she has to say. I took some real offense at some of the crap she had to say. And I think it needs to get out there. So let's listen to a little more.
Okay.
My record, it's fine. This part is something that I signed up for.
Yeah.
That you do not engage in political, you do not engage in political office without saying it is something. Is it hard? Yeah, it's absolutely hard. It's hard to be able to say, to say to my kids, hey, I'm just letting you know you don't get to go to that party. You don't get to go to that party because somebody else is.
You know, I'd like to know. I'd like to know some specifics here.
You
know, they talk about all of these death threats. They talk about, you know, threats to your kids, all of this stuff. But nobody ever goes to jail. Nobody ever gets prosecuted. Nobody ever brings up any names. It's just all this, you know.
What about all the kids that didn't get to go because of their state of emergency, and they locked them down, and they couldn't go, and everybody had to tell their kids, sorry, Johnny, you don't get to go today.
You don't get to go to the party.
Yeah.
Are you freaking kidding me? I just get mad when I hear this crap. It's the feel sorry for me crap. She's just looking for votes here. So let's go. Because nobody else went through this stuff, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody else went through this
no,
stuff.
No.
Nobody else has had death threats.
No.
You know? And I want to clear something up too. Anybody, so we talked to somebody on the left, if you will, and they were, oh, well, you got that Vlad guy making all these threats. Vlad is not a part of the recall. He started out in the recall to try to help, and we told him that he couldn't be here anymore because of his, outrageous, over-the-top, just yelling at people, threatening people, and so we got rid of him. But you guys don't, the other side didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, he's not even in the area anymore, and he's actually way out of the picture as far as that goes.
Well,
he's not
even
in Shasta County.
What I'm saying
is, yeah, he wasn't.
Was that a psyop? Did somebody come in here to try to do division between all right, I guess we got to go to a break. We'll come back on that.
No, they wouldn't do that. Send somebody in. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Shuffling madness on the locomotive breath runs the all-time loser headlong to his death. Oh, it feels a test and scraping, knee breaking on his brow. Oh, Tardy stole the handle and the pain it won't stop. Oh, I know it could slow down. Children jumping off stations one by one.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is an encore broadcast of Sovereign Minds.
You're right.
I know you were watching that video, Travis. Is Mick Jagger not like the most strange guy you've ever met? Well, or seen?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Keith Richards is worse.
Okay, no, they're both.
They're running neck and neck. If you just saw the dance routine that Mick Jagger did,
in his white sailor pants and like his purple leotard. Oh yeah.
Okay, you didn't have to go in the description part of it. Okay, but
purple,
Keith Richards
purple
is
leotard,
pretty ugly.
White.
Well, Keith Richards is just drugged out. He's just like,
there's
nothing.
He's still
there's
alive.
Nothing left. You know, he's an empty headed skull with guitar licks.
Well, yeah. How many blood prints?
He's got
one little, probably did him good when he fell out.
There's one little section there around the medulla oblongata somewhere where there's a riff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the riff section.
It helped him when he fell out of the tree.
All right, so let's get back to Reznor here.
Okay.
And let's play some more and we'll talk some more about this because I really took offense at some of this.
Somebody else's family member may be there and it's physically unsafe for you to get to go because something may happen to you. That's what it is, and I will tell you that that is what.
Does this not sound like an absolute bleeding heart liberal snowflake? I mean, does that not sound like exactly what they do? Oh, the violence. Oh, the trauma. Oh, it's not safe for anybody. It's not safe for me. I need a safe space. I mean, come on. You know, but I'm a conservative. Here, let's keep going.
What the reality is of our county at the moment, and it's sad because we actually don't disagree on. There was probably not a single thing that you said that you were really passionate about that I disagreed with.
Yeah.
Not a one. Probably we read most of the same.
Probably
we read the most.
I probably didn't disagree with anything you said. We probably read almost all the things. Now, what I want to get to is where, you know, and I'll bring it up. We'll stop there. Hold on.
Things we have read most of the same documents. We feel that the decisions should be made. We probably have made a lot of the same decisions in our private life, but. The reality is that there are a loud group of people who don't represent what it is that you or I are saying or want to go in the path, want to go or behave in the direction, but we can't tackle any of those things if we don't start coming to the table to have those discussions to say.
Sure.
And we're not getting anybody else who may be slightly to the left.
So this is all about being loud or not, right?
Well, I'm a little confused. She says there's a group out there, a loud group of people. So are you meaning that the loud group on the left, or are you meaning the conservatives on the right?
Yeah, because the loud group on the left, like, burnt cities and actually did attack people.
And the loud group on the right did a recall. So I'm a little confused what you mean by that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Huh? So what? Let's get the big picture. So the loud group on the right has been protesting and going to stadiums. Has not burnt down anything. the January 6th thing is completely unwinding on them because they know the FBI was out there stirring it up. Sort of like what the Nathan Pinckney guy was trying to do out at that meeting with the Board of Supervisors by stirring it up while they had a SWAT team in the back trying to
Yeah,
a SWAT team in the back, so hoping that they could provoke them into some kind of a January 6th insurrection that Modi, he called that the FBI's across the street. And then you got Nathan Pinckney. Oh, by the way, because he's a loud, obnoxious kind of guy, is indicative of the loud right and the recall and all that. How come Steve Kay or Steve King and who's, I believe, I think that he's got a warrant out for his arrest, last I heard. I don't know. Maybe. And Nathan, how come are they the voice of the left? They're the ones that were standing up.
And they're
up.
Not loud?
They were the ones standing up at all of the board meetings King just threatens everybody. I bet you if I could, everybody send me an email copy of all the emails that they received from Stephen King and all the death threats from Stephen King, which is kind of strange. He has the name Stephen King.
That's a little creepy.
That's a little creepy to begin with. So then that means all the people on the left are that he's the voice of all the people on the left, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works? It works so if there's one loud, obnoxious guy on the right, that means that everybody on the right is loud, obnoxious, and dangerous, right?
Yeah, even though there's no real connection there or anything, but yeah, he speaks
but
for everybody.
But if the people on the left that burnt down cities and, you know, destroyed property and had a chop zone and support their local boards of supervisors, you know, they're it's okay for those guys to do that. They're not indicative. That's just, you know, they're just voicing their opinion.
Yeah, and the ones that say, yeah, I started the fires along I-5 and I go to stores and steal meat.
Yeah.
And all
but
that
was just comedy.
Oh, that was?
Yeah, that was parody because then that's really super funny when you're talking about, you know, setting fires along I-5 in your little comedy parody thing because, you know, that's funny to the people who lost everything in their homes and stuff.
And
some of them I actually know personally who lost everything on the I-5 strip up there by Ashland and Medford. Yeah, that's really freaking funny.
Yeah.
So let's go on. Let's use the reasoning that of the reasoner.
Lack
to come to the table and have a discussion.
Yeah.
If it's very easy for us to be characterized as a far right, but I'll tell you, there are people who are behaving in that sort of, there are people who are behaving in an extremist sort of situation, and I'm living it every day.
That's
on both sides or just far right?
Yeah, I'm confused again. Which side are we on now?
I'm not sure.
Not untrue. And so I know that there are people who are like, we're not like that, we're not like that. And I'm like, okay, but there are.
So right now she's specifically talking about the recall.
Section of that. Yeah. They're a small section.
The crazies.
They're a small section. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is the reality of what we have. It is the reality of what we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that it is important that we elect people who believe in the same things that we believe in, but have the ability to engage in a healthy and constructive manner, and will have the best chance of making.
Like Modi?
So, the best chance of what? Getting in with the other side?
Like Modi?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because she thinks a lot of Modi. You can tell. Hold on, we'll keep going.
Okay.
Making some progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm friends with libertarian and liberal people, and I love them. Disagree, but I always treat them with respect, and you know, you have to be able to work together with those people. But what we're experiencing in our county is a product of so many other things, not just the recall, which we love the recall people. We've been around them. We met them over the last 4 or 5 months.
They're some fantastic people.
Wonderful people.
Good people.
You know, there's a few people who, on both sides, who don't have decorum, don't have tact, that are way too aggressive and mean and give death threats. But, you know, we love the recall people, but there's other factors going into political division.
See, I don't know anybody who's gotten a death threat from the right yet. We hear about it. We've heard that Mary's gotten death threats. Aaron is alluding to the fact that she's been threatened. How come we don't know who these people are?
And I do know Patrick Jones has gotten threatened.
Where they came from,
I don't know.
Les Ball was threatened.
Yeah.
Okay, and they kind of know who that is. So I'd like to have some names here or see some arrests or something at some point, not just, oh, gee, we're getting threats. You know, I got threats, too. I've had several threats. Okay?
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, so let's just keep talking about threats instead of the actual issues.
I'd say the media is a big one.
Super divisive, like calling people who, you know, don't wear masks, they're grandma killers and that kind of stuff. It's like, how do you a conservative go forward with your neighbors, with your community members, if external voices in the national media are labeling you as a dangerous person, a threat to them.
Even our local Reading newspaper and a news cafe, they're perpetuating that this is a huge effort from this terrible.
Yeah, so what did all the newspapers say? The militia took over the county? gee, that's not conflating something that has nothing to do with the recall effort, does it? Is it? Yeah, it's all about we're militia, we're taking over the county, a bunch of right-wing nut jobs. Not a word about how the left has been up there supporting the supervisors.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And all getting money and other things.
All right, here we go.
A group of people.
Boogeyman.
And it's, I think it's perpetuating a fear. Like, there are a few who truly are, like, what we've been talking about. But I think there are, the great majority want to have move forward, want to have discussion, want to behave
exactly
in a
what
respectful,
you're talking about.
Exactly what you're saying. But there is this perpetuation, even us talking about it, I think it's
So we set up these supervisors' meetings for how many years and tried to get them to listen to us about anything? Did they ever listen to us about anything, ever?
No, they had their own agenda and was going to do whatever they were going to do, regardless of what the public had said to them or
right.
what was
in
right
fact, Joe
or
stated,
by law.
Joe stated at his last meeting, I still don't believe that there's this many people out there that believe this way, that don't believe what I do, that, you know, go against what I say, because what he said when he got there was, I had my agenda and we were going to stick to that. And it doesn't matter what the input from the public is. Your recourse is to have another election. In 4 years. See, that those were his exact words, paraphrased, that he didn't care what everybody else had to say. He got elected. If you don't like it, then get rid of him in 4 years. So the recall goes through.
Yeah.
So the recall goes through, and he's still saying, I don't believe anybody out there really, you know, the majority. But wait a minute.
Yeah, that always gets me where the chambers are filled, and he says, well, that's not a representation of all the people that feel against it.
Oh.
Well, where are they?
It's not safe.
Oh, is that?
It's not
I forgot
safe.
It's not safe.
Yeah, it's not
yeah.
safe. All right, so I'm going to go a little more, and then I have another clip.
Perpetuating this propped up boogeyman of making it seem like there is this greater group of people, especially on the right side, having to do with the recall, having to do with the walkout.
Violence.
And
they're violent.
That is something that's being perpetuated within, like you mentioned, these Republican or conservative circles.
Yeah.
I've heard from our supervisor's own lips about discrediting the recall efforts, or saying that it's a big money thing and that it's...
It is a blah. Big... money thing. You cannot, absolutely, you cannot say that Reverge and Selmo's money pouring in had
but
nothing
you know
to
what?
Do with
Yeah, we can. You shill. Because Reverge and Selmo's money did not support the recall at all. The money that supported the recall
was
from fundraisers, three of them, that's where the money was spent on the recall.
Did he donate to the committee? Yes, he did.
But none of that money went for the recall. Okay? So it's not these people who grinded it out there, who were out in the smoke, which I was one of them. Weeks on end, out in the smoke, in the heat, every freaking day. Yeah, we did it all for the money, right? Because Reverge Anselmo donated to us. That's all we cared about. That's why we went to all these meetings. That's why we put all the signs up. That's why we walked all the precincts. That's why we showed up at every freaking meeting for the last, I don't even know, 4 years.
And they never talk about, what about the unions and how much money was donated on the other side and where did that money come from? Dominion
it's
Machine.
It's all about the money, right?
Yeah.
They didn't get to do with it, right? Nobody donated to Modi's campaign against the recall. That's why we've got big signs out on I-5 out there that are still sitting out there going, support your local vote, you know, your supervisor Moldy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get any money, right?
Yeah, that was okay for them to get money from the
but
unions
then anybody
and all of that.
Else,
yeah.
you're some kind of a malcontent, right-wing militia, white supremacist, conspiracist,
and
knuckle
grinder. And I hear jumping all over Baron Browning right now, right? Because he got money from Reverge.
Hmm.
Come on, guys.
All right, yeah,
Start screaming.
Okay, and then we're going to go just a little farther here. And, I get so mad when I hear this because you also have to look at Aaron's face, her arrogant, condescending, holier-than-thou, sanctifrickin'monious look on her face while she's saying this, like, we're just stupid, We're just stupid knuckle-dragging rubes who are uneducated. And she basically says it here when she talks about Modi and Tim Garmon. Let's go a little farther here.
We did that.
Because he's mad at the county.
Yeah.
Yeah, for being unreasonable, not working with him, for not giving him building permits. There are some big mistakes that were made by the county.
I'm not disagreeing with mistakes that were made by the county. I'm just saying.
But it was never. It's not about the money. That's what the media would like us to focus
outside
on the money.
Outside money.
That's the big term. But really,
outside money is the only reason why it is. Okay, let's say this. Leonard Modi.
Outside money is the only reason why this is?
Yeah, go on, though.
Okay.
What about Modi?
Leonard Modi.
Shot himself in the foot. Outside of Leonard Modi, the reason why it was that Joe and Mary were not recalled, Leonard Modi, that was a long...
Okay, number one, she doesn't have a clue.
Number two, she has no clueless reason.
She is totally clueless. The only reason they didn't get recalled is because, number one, it was a tough deal to get Modi. His half of his district's burnt out. We're being held to a standard of population wasn't there because they're all burned out. It was the biggest fires in the history of California all around us. You know, the smoke, the 60-something days of hazardous air conditions, 110 degrees. Yeah, we did this, you know, the only reason that Rickards and Joe didn't get it is because we didn't have time. It took much longer. We learned a lot of lessons about Modi.
And they don't know how many signatures we got for Joe.
They don't even
know. And Mary, they have
no idea. They have no idea how close we were.
Yeah, they have no idea.
Idiot. All right, let's keep going.
That was a long time coming. That was a history of certain sort of behavior.
Yeah.
And that is why it is that, and he sealed his own fate. And that just is what it is.
And so it was good that he was recalled.
I am saying, I don't know that I would necessarily say that because I...
Not necessarily say that.
So
what are you saying?
Exactly.
What are you really saying?
So now she goes on to say that Tim Carman is basically an uneducated rube and is not up to the caliber or snuff that Modi is or was, because Modi's been there so long and he knows all the ins and outs and it's all about finances.
And he never just all about
Modi.
So
he brought it all on himself. He brought it all on himself.
But I don't agree with the recall.
But the recall sucks.
Yeah. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have held him to the fire.
Go a little farther. We're almost there.
I would say that Tim Garmon has stepped in, and Tim Garmon has a really steep hill to climb, and he doesn't know the structure or the rules or any of those sort of things, or even the fact in which that he had meetings once a week. So I'm just saying that there was a person who was put in who was completely uneducated.
Wow.
So now Tim Garmon is completely uneducated.
That's a big slap there, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because she's running in a district because she's so much more educated and so much more familiar with the rules and so much more on the inside baseball.
Yeah, as long as everybody's telling you what to do, then that means you're more educated.
And she'll turn out to be, I predict, if she gets in, she'll be a copy of Joe Comente, and they want their 3-2 against anybody who wants to change the county. That's what this is all about. This is about power. This is about control. You know, this is not about money. This is about who is going to control the board. Is it going to be the people, or is it going to be a bunch of inside baseball players that think they're in charge of everything? All right, here we go.
Evidently.
On the terms of what that is, do I think that that was the best choice? I really don't. Do I think that...
So Tim Garmon was not a better choice than Modi.
Oh.
That's what she just said. I don't think that was the best choice.
Well, it's quite evident she thinks that Madhu did a fantastic job, and he should have stayed in office, and there was no problem.
But he brought it all on himself. I'm not sure what that means. And the recall are a bunch of knuckle-draggers. And, you know, and things like, oh, I don't know, taking us out of the COVID emergency this last week. Do you think that would have happened if Modi was still there?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you think that would happen? Do you think she wants to take us out of the emergency? Because it's not about money. It's not about the millions of dollars that are coming in from COVID, is it?
No.
No, it's not about shoring up the county after they've spent themselves into oblivion under the watch of Mr. Modi, who's smarter than everybody else, especially Tim Garmon. Because
did she shut down her business? I I don't think she shut her business down and everything when it was a state of emergency. I'm pretty sure Dutch Bros was still going.
Yeah. Funny how that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All interesting. Right.
I'll go a little farther, and then I think our guest is here.
People absolutely have a right, and we're lucky to live in California so that we can recall somebody when they're not doing a good job or we disagree with them. Absolutely. I'm just saying we've now put ourselves in a really dangerous position because there are things that can actually totally unravel and fall apart or put us into big legal trouble. If there's somebody who's making decisions with hundreds of millions of dollars who doesn't actually know anything that they should know about what's going on.
Wow.
So Tim Garman doesn't know anything about what he should know about what's going on. So everything's going to unravel because Modi's gone, right?
Yeah.
And, so she's a real conservative, right?
Yeah, and Jake over at Chamber, he knows exactly how to do all that. And all the millions of money that went over there, he knows all about it, right?
You know, I really wasn't one way or the other on Reznor until I watched this video. She disgusts me at this point after hearing all this crap. Talk about a slanted viewpoint of the system. You know, she talks out of both sides of her mouth. One side, well, I'm so glad that we can have the chance to do a recall in California. And then the other side of her mouth is, well, the recall's a bunch of rabble, knuckle-dragging militia, white supremacists that, you know, probably should be on a terrorist list if it was available.
Yeah. And Mary, please, and Mary knows... Mary's so educated.
Oh, but she had Modi to rely on because he was such a great guy.
Oh, he was a good mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have something, somebody.
All right, go ahead. I guess I got on a roll.
They want me
there.
To mention that the people need to check out the DA's Instagram page of them completely screwing off and being worried about how many three-day weekends are left. So I put
Send
it up
that
there.
Again.
They want people to go to the DA. Instagram. I guess they're on there screwing around, you know, worrying about they're not working. They're more worried about how many more three-day weekends they have.
Well, that's important.
Yeah. So making TikTok videos.
That's important. Yeah.
So the person just wanted me to make people aware of that to go to their Instagram page. So I did.
Yeah. Anyway. What a crazy world we live in right now. It's going to get crazier. And, you know, I think that maybe Aaron's trying to front run the fact that, you know, those guys were taking us right into the path of bankruptcy anyway. I mean, look at how much the overspending, you know, on the pensions, everything, you know, stoking up all their wages, everything, and their pensions and their salary. We look at, you know, Ramstrom, $300,000 a year and all this stuff. But it's going to be Tim Garman's fault when he gets in there and doesn't know what he's doing.
Right. And she has so much to bring to the table.
Yeah, I have a Mo on the phone.
A Mo? Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I know a Mo. I wonder if it's the same Mo. Hello, Mo.
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi.
You're on.
Yes. Hi, guys. Okay. So a few years back, I ran for city council, and while I was running for city council, I thought the best way to meet people was to work at the recycling center. So I worked at the recycling center. And unfortunately, I found out that Aaron Reznor had an agreement with the owner of Jolly Green Giant for her children who work at the Dutch Brothers, the young people that work at Dutch Brothers, to surpass what the state law is to get funding for their camps. And even though I feel Aaron Reznor herself doesn't benefit from that deal she made with the guy who owns Jolly Green Giant, I feel Aaron Reznor went behind the scenes, got something she should not have, especially sitting as a mayor of a city. And it really frustrates me because a lot of the people that I was talking out there were nurses who work in our ICU who have to recycle cans so they can get enough funding to do something with their children, to feed their children. None of us got privy to have something like this, but she did. And that really upsets me because I'm offended that she would even question Mr. Garman's intelligence.
Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
I hear what you're saying.
I think Tim Garman is a highly educated, nice guy who's trying to do the right thing. And that's why I got so mad when I listened to this. And I haven't listened to every bit of it, but I listened to enough of it and watched her body language and facial expression to make some pretty good decisions on what her stances are.
Hey, Mo, I want to thank you for calling in, but we're at the top of the hour, and they are going to cut us off. If you want to hang on. At the next, on the other side, that would be great. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Former President Trump held another rally last night, this one in Casper, Wyoming. He says President Biden and the Democrats in Congress are destroying the economy.
They want to close you down, so remember that when you walk into that booth. Right? Harriet, they're going to remember. And Harriet's the exact opposite. As everyone here understands, Joe Biden and the radical Democrats are destroying our nation.
Mr. Trump mentioning Harriet Hageman there. She is running against Liz Cheney for the House seat. For many Americans, Memorial Day is simply the unofficial kickoff of summer. The pool's open and lots of things to look forward to. But military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, says Memorial Day is actually about those who gave their lives for the country. And McGinnis says while this nation is dealing with the here and now, the future is almost uncertain.
It will be less uncertain if we don't have men and women in arms willing to come to our aid and defeat those that would destroy our nation. And there are those that are out there.
McGinnis spoke with the Salem Radio Network. Airline travelers, boy, it's a tough weekend for them this Memorial Day holiday. They've been dealing with a huge increase in the price of their tickets, and many of them can't get off the ground. According to FlightAware, 1,000 flights have already been canceled today, more than 1,500 yesterday, another 2,300 back on Friday. Delta Airlines has been having probably most of the problems. The first hurricane of the eastern Pacific season has formed off Mexico's southern Pacific coast, and it's heading quickly for land. Hurricane Agatha could make landfall as early as tomorrow near Puerto Escondido in the southern state of Oaxaca. According to authorities, the maximum sustained winds at the moment are 75 miles per hour. Officials in Oaxaca say the outer bands of the storm have already begun to reach the coast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and start getting cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back in your first fill-up. That's promo code SALEM. Remember, use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up.
Cleaner water is headed to some Native Americans.
The portion of the Navajo Nation that lies in Utah is getting $210 million to go toward clean drinking water infrastructure. Navajo leaders signing an agreement Friday with Utah and federal officials that provides the funding and also settles the tribe's claim to Colorado River water rights. The signing formalizes the Utah-Navajo water rights settlement, which became law last year. Jason Walker reporting.
Authorities in Nepal say rescuers have narrowed down a possible location of a passenger plane with 22 people on board that is feared to have crashed into the mountains. The Terra airplane, which was on a 15-minute scheduled flight to the mountain town of Jomsom today, took off from the resort town of Pokhara 125 miles east of Kathmandu, then disappeared. News and analysis at townhall.com. 19 people have been indicted in a complex money laundering scheme to move millions of dollars in drug proceeds from Colombian cartels through U.S. banks.
Federal prosecutors say the charges brought in Massachusetts are the result of a five-year investigation into the money laundering organization based in Colombia. Authorities say they laundered at least $6 million through the U.S. banking system. Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins says nearly 3,000 kilograms of seized cocaine has been traced back to the money laundering organization.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, May the 29th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including former baseball commissioner Fay Vincent. He's 84 years old. Movie composer Danny Elfman is 69 today. Singer LaToya Jackson is 66. And NBA star Carmelo Anthony has 38 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is an encore broadcast of Sovereign Minds.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And that was for Trudeau, by the way, up in Canada. I just want to make that real clear. Yeah, and I'm a real big fan of Five Times August. He comes out with a lot of political stuff, all, you know, pro-freedom, pro-America, you know, anti-globalist stuff.
There's a lot of that coming out from all different
sure
sources.
Like it sure does seem like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we're all getting along. Imagine that.
Well, I guess, you know, even knuckle-dragging, white supremacist hillbillies have a chance at, you know, a shot at redemption somewhere along the line. So I want to talk about our guest who's in the studio with us right now. We have John Green here with us. And he ran for sheriff 4 years ago, actually in an election, you know.
Yeah.
I forgot what those were for sheriff anymore. You just appoint him now.
That's where the people actually come out and voice their votes and elect somebody for an elected position. That's
call me crazy. I don't know why that.
Having the system work like it's supposed to.
Yeah. So we want to welcome John to the show, and we want to talk about the issues. Maybe give us a little background and what your platform is, and then we can kind of go from there.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning to you guys and everybody else listening here. Yeah, my name is John Green. I am running for sheriff again. I ran 4 years ago after retiring from the sheriff's office after 27 years of service. Narrow election. Learned a lot back then. Learned some missteps I made. So my heart's still in it. And so I, with the recent events, you know, having three sheriffs in 3 years.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
just
crazy.
Is just it's a abhorrent abuse of power, in my opinion, for the county government or any government to keep filling an elected seat with appointees.
Who appointed all the sheriffs?
It was the board of supervisors here. Yeah, you know, some of the
interesting.
And not all of them.
So that's what caused you to go ahead and come out of retirement because of what's happened in the last few years?
If we go back a little bit about my career, like I said, I'm 100% local. Been here since I was 15 years old. Moved up with my family and worked with the sheriff's office for 27 years. Actually retired a couple of years early. I could have stayed a few more and maxed out, but I wasn't about that. I saw the condition of the sheriff's office, the level of or the lack of leadership in that office, and so I made it a point to retire and run for sheriff. It would have been very difficult to continue to work and run at the same time against your boss.
Yeah, that's
tough. So I made that decision. I made my platform about the people. And I really don't like the term grassroots effort, but, cause that's what politicians use, and I don't like to think of myself as a politician.
I guess it's better than AstroTurf, but.
In some senses, yeah. But, so I did run. I had what a lot of people consider a very successful campaign. And.
You almost won.
It was very close. It was about a 51-49%, so over a 12-year incumbent, and to put it in my opposition's terms, I was just a sergeant. Well, no, I was a leader, and I was respected. I wasn't a manager. I really focused on getting out to the people and letting them know, how I could improve the sheriff's office and their level of service, through the county. So,
I take offense at that, just a sergeant a little bit.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like you go into the military and they're not just sergeants. They're the guys running everything.
Right. And I also, was the administrative sergeant, which I was in charge of, internal affairs investigation, training and equipment and kind of the middleman between the troops and the administration. And I did my job very well. And I get a lot of people, especially in law enforcement, they cast a negative shadow on people doing internal affairs investigations because of the nature.
I can understand why, because especially the people in the department.
Right.
You know, it kind of brings me up a point here of this. What did you think about all this McGreeny thing? You know, I mean, when it's the Shasta Sheriff's Association. There's two of them. Administrative Association. I don't know all the acronyms here, but.
They gave a vote of.
No confidence on him. He basically said F him, you know, when I read through that thing. What do you think about all that?
Yes, there were two votes of no confidence sent to the Board of Supervisors. The first one was on behalf of the Deputy Sheriff's Association, which is the sergeants and below, and correctional deputies, street deputies of that nature. So basically you're not in administration, you're a deputy. There were... I have to think at the time, 120 members or so. Back when I was running last time. But yeah, they sent a letter of vote of no confidence, but I believe it was February of last year.
Right.
And then also the Sheriff's Administrative Association, the SAA, as well had a vote of no confidence. The Deputy Sheriff's Association letter was a one pager, kind of just a brief overview. I've read it. Not really much meat and potatoes to it, but the Sheriff's Admin Association sent theirs in, and it was a detailed list of what they perceived as inefficiency, retaliation. They alluded to possible criminal violations. And when I say that, I don't mean it's computer stuff. You know, stuff you're not supposed to do,
right,
unless you have an open case or things of that nature. But it was kind of weird that those both went in February, and then nobody knew about it. It never came out.
Right.
Until a few months later. So where did those letters go for those 2 months, and why wasn't the public made aware?
They got squashed somewhere along the line by somebody. I don't know. Who could have had the power to do that? I mean, you'd think the media would jump all over that. You know, we have such a stellar group of journalists in the county that report everything truthfully.
Yeah, and you wonder why they went ahead and appointed him.
That's where we're going, too. It's like,
prior to that, the way it worked after the election, Tom Basinko took office in, I believe it was January of 2019. 10 months later, in October of 2019, he announced his retirement. It had been talked about during the campaign that he was not going to fulfill the the complete term, and he was going to.
Then why run?
Well, because he wanted to leave, in my opinion, some form of his inflated ego legacy with the sheriff's office and have his undersheriff appointed. So I balked at that. I presented myself to the Board of Supervisors that October at the very meeting which I felt that they were actually going to appoint him. And I got up and said, hey, wait, time out. I just ran. I had 49%+ of the vote, 22,193, I believe, was the correct count,
right,
out of some 44,000 votes. And I said, you had, before you appointed Stephanie Bridget as district attorney, you held public interviews. And so then the then CAO, Larry Lee, said, yeah, that's correct. And so they basically opened up a hiring process where anybody who's qualified had to actually send in an application, a job application with a cover letter and things of that nature. And then you sit through a public hearing, which it was about 15 minutes per person. It was open to the public. It was at the County Board of Supervisor Chambers. Yeah, myself, Mr. Magrini, and another law enforcement professional, I believe, out of Red Bluff Sheriff's Office or Tehama County Sheriff's Office, applied, and we went through these five Q&A questions, and then they voted, and obviously they selected Eric Magrini to be appointed to that position after this public interview. And so then
why do you think that was?
Well, he was the undersheriff at the time. I made a point to tell them, because there were the other two applicants had letters of reference, one from different quote unquote dignitaries, and had support from them. And I flat out told them, I said, you'll see in my application packet, I do not have any letters of reference or recommendation. I said, I had 22,193 of those 10 months ago.
Right.
With
the
public speaking. So, I thought it was incumbent upon them to heed that, and appoint me. They did not. So then fast forward, a year and a half later, 15, 16 months later, when it was starting finally to come out about the two voter letters of no confidence from both of those associations, that all of a sudden now Mr. Magrini has been shuffled over to a created position.
Right.
There had never been.
I think it's a 20% or 40% raise. I don't remember which.
I don't know the exact numbers, but it was considerable.
Yeah, it was.
Put him into a CAO position. In fact, I just brushed up on watching the KRCR interview that covered the letters of the votes of no confidence and his appointment, and listened to Mr. Magrini, take this new position, and really didn't explain what was going on with the other two votes of no confidence. It's like, hey, I'm out, I'm gone, so, I'm going to be at, even Matt Pontus got there up there and said, oh, it's I'm glad he's here, and I believe it. He called him, it's an elected sheriff. This is amazing that an elected sheriff actually applied for this job. And I was like, that's not an elected sheriff.
He was appointed by the Board of Supervisors. So, and he's now in charge of marijuana eradication, I guess. And I guess that's been going bang up.
We can talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
That's one of my campaign platforms. Okay. So,
I know we have a couple things we'd like to go over, and I know some of it right off the start is going to be in regards to the Second Amendment.
Well, let's start there because we got in the chat room.
Right.
We want to go back there. I missed
it. And it says they want to know about PC 25650, concealed weapons permit, which allow retired law enforcement to carry on school property. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you issue those.
Oh, retired law enforcement?
Yes,
that's what it's asking.
Okay, so the way it works with retired law enforcement, if you're retired honorably, you are given, per the penal code, a concealed carry, all 50 states.
So it's reciprocal, automatic all 50 states.
It's automatic all 50 states. You have to qualify once a year. Part of the infrastructure of that code. You have to go qualify once a year with your agency or a like agency that will sign off on the qualification.
The sheriff's
sheet.
Department,
the sheriff's office, yes, or the record range. With they have that ability to do that too, which is the kind of a overall law enforcement. It's not a union; it's just an organization
association.
So yes, but I agree with retired law enforcement obviously carrying on school property.
And then we
they limit you? I mean, if you're a retired, I wouldn't think there would be limitations if you're able to carry after retirement and you qualify and everything.
Yes.
There's no limitations to where you can carry, certain buildings or.
No.
I got to ask the question in the chat room. One of them is, why does law enforcement need to carry on school property?
Are you really? Well,
I'm going to ask that. I want to ask that because I want to hear the answer, and then come back with the same guy, Philip. Sure. What schools are asking for armed enforcement? So the question is, do you think that they should be able to carry on school grounds, and why would you think?
Well, absolutely. You know, part of my career, for about 4 years, I was a school resource officer, and this was after Columbine, and around the Sandy Hook area, and the multitude of school shootings that had been occurring across the nation. So obviously, if you're going to have a school resource officer or deputy there who's in full uniform, he's a peace officer, does the same activities as patrolling, you patrol the schools,
right?
And you keep them safe, and to take that tool away would be just
wonder if you're just Joe Citizen, you're not there as the public safety officer on school grounds.
Right. There are areas of the penal code that do deal with weapons on school grounds. Ultimately, it is up to
the school, isn't
the
it?
Superintendent of the various districts. I do know
that would be another reason to vote for Brian Campbell.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it even breaks it down further from just not the Shasta County Superintendent of Schools, but the individual school district superintendents. I believe when I was a school resource officer for the Anderson Union High School District, I was assigned to West Valley High School and the elementary schools in that area. The superintendent at the time, I believe it was Tim Acevedo, he actually allowed concealed carry on school property.
I remember that.
They
yeah.
used to have range classes down there back in the 50s and 60s, I think, you know, where they actually taught people how to shoot rifles and stuff. Yes. I mean, we've come a long way, baby. I want
to... we have one more thing in regards to this. They're saying that no AB 424... took away superintendent's discretion about allowing CCW on their property.
Okay. I was not familiar with that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'll have to check it. That was 84.
Yeah. 824.
424, yeah.
Does it cite the year? Or
no, but
it could have been pretty recent, I would imagine.
I'm sure they'll put it in the chat room if it does. I'll give you the
information. We have a legal beagle in there. So I want to, but that brings us to open carry and open carry permits, because there are permits that can be issued by the sheriff that allow open carry, as well as we have concealed carry. I think we need to go back to what the Constitution says. I think this whole idea of dancing around it is, I think that the right to keep and bear arms is pretty plain. I think that this whole idea of we'll be afraid of everybody. You know, when I was a kid, everybody had guns in the back of their pickups in the windows.
I did too.
Nobody was afraid of anything, because actually I think I felt more safe because, you knew that there were people that were armed that could actually protect your life, or you could protect your own life.
I agree.
What do you think?
I agree. Yes, it's a subsection. I believe it's B of that 26150 penal code section that regarding concealed carry permits, and it does state in the, I believe it's subsection B, as I said, that allows a sheriff of a county with less than a 200,000 population to issue open carry.
Would you do that?
I would. Prior to that, I would reach out to the other states and counties and entities that do actually
issue
those open carry permits to see what type of law enforcement training, because if we just opened it up right now, you would have a lot more police contacts. You know,
that's smart. You got to let everybody know ahead of time. You're just not going to start issuing them. You know, they need some training to understand,
how to interact with the citizen who is legally armed and carrying their firearm on their hip.
Yeah, because if you were walking down the street right now with a 44 on your hip, you're probably going to last a few blocks before, you know, you're surrounded by PD going, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, but you have towns like in, you know, Colorado, like Rifle,
for example.
Everybody.
Right.
I mean, they're
Idaho,
used to
Idaho, certain areas in Idaho.
Yeah, exactly. So the people are aware, like you say, they don't think nothing of it.
Right. Right. I think a thoughtful integration to bring that to Shasta County would be the most prudent way to do that for the public safety, the officer safety, and things of that nature. I would not want the person walking down the street with carrying their firearm in their waistband with no holster, just flopping around where anybody can run up and just snatch it.
I get it. I mean, there needs to be some level of training
some
involved in any
guidelines,
firearm. Well, in any, just having a firearm, if you're not having some training, I think you're a moron. You know, I really do. If you just, I think the responsibility of having a firearm is the responsibility of knowing how to use it properly and be safety wise as well. So we do have a caller.
Yeah, we do. We have Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Good morning, Terry.
Good. What's your question or comment for our guest?
Well, I agree with John. The fact is that with a 26-150B2 open carry permit is probably a thing that should be done. I'm glad he's taking that position. Hopefully Mark Baird's case and the New York case will make it to where that isn't even an issue anymore. That will be absolutely what we have. It is our Second Amendment right. Now, Sheriff Johnson made a comment when I asked him about that. He said, well, I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment and the right of the Second Amendment, but I will not allow an exposed weapon. And, you know, how do you put right and allow in the same sentence? That, to me, was amazing. But the real issue there is, and just like John was saying, we have to have a period of time where people, where the police officers understand that. I mean, up until 2012, we had open carry in the county. Granted, we couldn't have the ammunition and it can't be a loaded weapon. You still could have open carry and your magazine in another pocket. But, I mean, 45 states in the United States allow open carry. 22 states now allow going in and buying a gun and putting it on your hip and walking out the door once they found out that your background is okay. And that's about a 10-minute search. So I think the thing is that it's really not where you carry the weapon as much as it's the discernment of when you use the weapon. You know, that's why the classes are there. That's why all the hoops people have to jump through them. And right now for concealed carry, we have a 60 to 90 day wait. And this is what I want to comment from John about. There's a 60 to 90 day wait on concealed carry. And if you carry, even though you're a law-abiding citizen, may have had a CCW for 20 years, until you get that renewed, it's against the law, and people have been told that by the Sheriff's Department. I'd like his comment on that, and then I'll just take that off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Terry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah, that was part of my platform last time, and I don't think things have changed much. In fact, nothing's changed in the last 4 years, in my opinion, with the operation of the sheriff's office. During my time there, I regularly noticed there was a backlog of the issuance of concealed weapons permits. I surmised, just based on my observations, that the process was stale, right? There's no reason that you can't do a background check, like Terry just mentioned. It's a computer search. The paperwork has to go through the state because it's state law.
Right.
That they have to have the classes. They have to fill out the proper paperwork. But I believe that whole system at the sheriff's office needs to be refreshed. We need to reset it and have people in that position who are focused on getting these things done in a timely manner. I believe at the time there was 4 to 6 month wait for a renewal, which you're already in the system.
Right.
It's a simple background check. Get that paperwork in and done. And, you know, I would assume that a certain extent it's at the state level as well, but there's no reason that you can't press the state and continue to issue those in a timely manner.
Yeah, because when somebody runs a background check on you, they come back pretty quick.
They do. They can. They
yeah,
can.
They
yes.
can.
Yes.
Most certainly can.
So that's a law enforcement database, and you basically run a rap sheet on somebody, and it pops up instantaneously. And I would be an advocate at the state level to say, hey, once we do our background check, everything is here. As long as the state fees are paid, we're going to issue this as soon as we get them. As soon as those checks come back clear. There was an issue during the previous three sheriffs ago now term where it took a long time just for him to sign those.
Right.
Which they
finally I think they finally delegated that to another deputy to do, but yeah.
Right. They tried right off the bat when I made the point about the wait time and the turnaround time. They did. They hired some extra help law enforcement, retired law enforcement to come in and alleviate that, which I think it did for a certain period of time. But it's like anything. When somebody's running a campaign, if you point out what's wrong and what needs to be changed, oh, they're going to do it. But how long are they going to do it?
Eventually,
you
know.
And
that's the nature of government in general. Anyway, you know, it's
yes.
You know, you have to have a committee just to make a decision on what kind of creamer you're going to have for your coffee.
Right. But and I found that through almost the entire campaign is you know, the outlying areas, and not to change the subject on CCWs, but it needs to be refreshed. It needs to be revitalized. There's no reason that a person has to have a home PC, personal computer to finish the process.
Right.
If the people of my generation or generations older than me I don't have a home computer. I do everything on my phone, which is limiting sometimes. You know, we have laptops and things like that. But there needs to be a public use computer for the people who don't have that option, where they can come into the sheriff's office, sit in the cubicle, and complete their paperwork.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I did that. I guess we got to go to a break.
Yeah, we do.
When we come back from the break, I want to talk about constitutional sheriff. What does that mean to
you? Okay. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Well, I've had my share of broken dreams, and more than a couple of falls. And in chasing what I thought were moonbeams, I have run into a couple of walls. But in looking back at the places I've been and the changes that I've left behind, I still look at myself to find. I've learned the hard way every time. I've had my share of good intentions, and I've made my share of mistakes. And I've learned at times it's best to bend, 'cause if you don't, well, those are the breaks. Should have listened to all the things I was told, but I was young and too proud at the time. And now I look at myself to find. I learn the hard way every time.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This is an encore broadcast of Sovereign Minds.
Doesn't like the Beatles, I don't like you. Just saying.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Sorry. I know. I know that was over.
What
the
about
top.
The crickets?
Okay.
Do you like the crickets?
Buddy Holly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, saw him okay. In concert down at Circle Star one time.
That's going back. Circle
yeah,
Star.
Yeah, going back. That was with Waylon Jennings and Tony Joe White, by the way.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good concert. Anyway, so let's talk about constitutional sheriffs. What does that mean to you to be a constitutional sheriff, John? And what is the purpose of the Second Amendment in its entirety? You know, why did they write it in there? So let's do that in two parts. Constitutional sheriff, and then why is the Second Amendment there?
Well, the constitutional sheriff to me is a sheriff who, number one, listens to the people. That is elected for the people and by the people. That follows the Constitution of the United States of America and operates under that framework.
Do you think that the Constitution is a living document?
No, it is not. It can be, but by and large, the Constitution is the Constitution. They can add to it, but I haven't seen it. I don't see where it could be stripped or taken away. I believe that's the foundation of America. That's what we were founded on to get out of the tyranny from the British rule back in the 1700s.
Right.
So that's my interpretation of constitutional sheriff, and also follows the Constitution of California and the state laws of California. There are certain things that you can and can't do, and bound. I would be, as the top law enforcement officer in the county of Shasta, operating under the eyes of the Attorney General of the state, that I would be bound to enforce state laws.
Well, and at the same time, if they're not following the law, then we'll take the COVID emergency that was just dropped by the Board of Supervisors, mm-hmm. that they have abused that particular emergency declaration by Governor Mussolini to the point of ridiculousness. We're 2 years later, you're seeing more and more evidence that the conspiratorial theory was not conspiratorial theory, it was conspiratorial fact, with regards to the masks, all of that stuff. So at some point in time, would you not support state law if it was going against the Constitution of the United States?
I would be the first one to be at the state capitol advocating on behalf of the citizens and say this isn't right. And second of all, I haven't seen anything that has been state law that has come out over the last few years with COVID. They've been mandates. Mandate
it's
is not
law.
It is not law.
So there's no reason to follow it.
It has not run through the proper governmental channels to be scribed into law. Therefore, mandate is just that. It's
suggestion.
A suggestion.
Yeah, because law is supposed to be written by the legislature, not by the governor.
Correct, and voted on by the people.
Right.
Right.
And that's part of me as well with the being a constitutional supporter and plan to be a constitutional sheriff, constitutionally minded sheriff. It's taking your personal freedoms away. In my opinion, I am not. I'll put it out there right now. I am not anti-mask. I am not anti-vax. I'm for the people deciding on themselves.
Right.
You know, my entire family.
Pro freedom.
My entire family, exactly, pro freedom, has had COVID. I'm lucky I didn't get it, but,
Did you get the vax?
I did not.
Yeah, I think the vax is going to cause more problems than anybody right. realizes at this point.
And that's exactly the reason when you have the government granting, immunity from liability to these major pharma companies who put this stuff out
who've been fined in the past numerous times for criminality in their products.
Just look back at the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
That was slid through as a safe, effective thing. And I will challenge anybody listening, anybody who hears or talks to me, if they don't know personally a family member or a close friend who has family members or in their circle who has not suffered from opioid addiction, I guarantee you will not find that.
It's everywhere.
I'm going to, before we get to the Second Amendment thing, I got to do the nullification because Rich is having
I saw that.
He's got exclamation points after nullification and interposition. What are your positions on nullification and interposition?
In what context?
Well, in the context of interposing between the state law that's being mandated and the legality of it and forcing it upon them. I think we kind of covered this, but I'm bringing
it. Right.
Yeah.
No, and that would be, that is my opinion. I think local law enforcement has done absolutely wonderful during this thing because there is no.
They didn't force it.
They did not educate and give people the choice of freedom. You know,
unlike our boards of supervisors,
for the most part.
Okay, so we'll leave.
But yes, no, that's that. I do not believe I would have done anything different handling the COVID situations in our county and listening to the majority of our of the constituents in this county.
So we've got Richard on there, and he's saying an SB 1464 bill on deck to mandate law enforcement to enforce the health orders. At that point, that would be legal, but not following the Constitution and upholding our rights. So what would you say at that point?
I would say I still would not force people to wear masks or get a vax if it came down to the sheriff's office. And I think you can ask anybody who's been in charge, the multitude of people who have been in charge over there for the last 3 or 4 years, that when it comes to the governmental requirement that basically you're vaxed or you lose your job.
It's overreach.
It is overreach. I would not enforce that.
All right, very good.
All right, so on the other side of that, if you know somebody within the county that is breaking the law, no matter where their position is in the county, would you have a problem exercising arresting them?
This is a trick question, right?
Yeah.
It is. We could talk about what ifs, until the cows come.
Right,
but in general. In general, I'm not sure I really follow what you're asking me.
Well, some people, because of the position that they sit in the county and they do things that are unlawful, are protected by people that are in law enforcement.
They're protected by their position.
Yes. And so they aren't held accountable for that.
An example would be Modi and the changing of it from malfeasance to misfeasance.
The car fire incident.
DA or whoever it is that has taken it upon themselves to do what they do.
Well, that would be a good example, that whole thing.
Yes.
A lot of people, you know, I served on the grand jury during the recent past. I was on the 2020-2021 grand jury. I obviously can't divulge or discuss any investigative process that went on during that whole time. I can't speak to what has been produced publicly as far as that whole thing. What a lot of people don't realize about the Shasta County Grand Jury in general, it is a civil body. It is not a criminal body. They can make
recommendations.
Recommendations, but they cannot make criminal recommendations. They make
referrals.
Basically,
right?
Referrals or recommendations to resolve the issues. They can't.
But aren't they supposed to be able to charge or at least investigate, you know, government officials at whatever level in the county?
Yes.
And then turn that evidence over?
Yes.
To somebody to be prosecuted?
Yes. But once they do that, once the investigation is complete, it is referred out, sent to the agency that
is in charge, like the DA?
Or doesn't it go to the Board of Supervisor first?
No. It goes to so there are so many committees on the grand jury. So because there are so many different areas of the cities and counties, the city and county that need oversight. It's basically an oversight committee is what it is. And so the way it works is somebody makes a complaint, say on the city of Reading for
whatever,
that would go to the city committee. Right, there's a city committee. If there's a financial abuse tip given to and it's determined to be worthy of an investigation, then that would be the financial committee would take over that and investigate that.
They
would
appoint these committees.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
It's a volunteer basis, like the grand jury itself. There's a hiring and interview process that everybody goes through, and I know you see the flyers once a year coming out.
Yeah, I've applied three times. Uh-huh. They turned me down all three times. I don't know. Maybe it's a Scotch-Irish thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we're the same. But, so the committees are formed within the grand jury based on a multitude of things, interests in individual members and things of that nature.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that either.
It's different committees. There's the local area districts, which would cover school districts, water districts, things of that nature. That's just another committee. There are committees to look into the sheriff's office or public safety, things of that nature.
Okay.
So
that kind of clears it up, though, that there is an oversight, and depending
on who's
within the committee, where it's going to go and how it is treated to a certain degree.
Yeah, I can still see where there could be undue influence.
It's simply a watchdog organization that gets the information and then sends it out.
Yeah, you're still up against the classic, you know, Roman question. Who's watching the watcher?
right. So,
watching?
Based on my experience with the grand jury, the year that I was on it, I have nothing but the utmost respect for people that actually do that and volunteer and serve.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, that makes me feel a little better, you know.
And when the whole Modi story was released to the public, people didn't realize I saw a lot of comments and a lot of feedback. Well, why didn't the grand jury do more? The grand jury did exactly what they were supposed to do.
They can't do more.
They can't do more. Yeah. You can't. You take the information. You're an information gatherer, and then you put it out there, and then it's up to whoever it goes to remedy the solution.
Well, I think it's ultimately up to the public to remedy, and I think we did a pretty good job of remedying some of that with the recall.
Yes.
So.
But it could have been stopped before that.
Well,
but,
it should have been stopped, but anyway. I want to get to the second question, which is kind of a little while ago. But what do you think was the purpose of putting the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights to begin with?
It was to, in my opinion, it's to, number one, to protect your person, your property, your personal effects, things of that nature, and it's also to prevent governmental tyranny that the people at the time were suffering from the British rule.
Right.
And that's exactly why it was written in there, in my opinion. And I think a lot of legal scholars
would agree with that.
That's there. And that Second Amendment, in my opinion, is not a living, breathing document. That is etched in stone. And as long as I'm sheriff or a living American, I will support that. 100%.
Well, because if you look at historically, the countries that have gotten rid of the ability to, keep and bear, whether it's Australia or take your pick, historically the government gets out of control because there's no check. You know, the final check is the Second Amendment. You don't hopefully you never have to use it. But if you're completely disarmed, you have no way of fighting back.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
And then before, I know we're getting close or down, we got about 12 minutes, but we wanted to talk about April 8th.
Okay, yes, April 8th, there is a meet and greet, and it is at the Happy Valley Community Center. And if you give me
there,
a second.
Yeah, there's going to be five candidates there.
There will be five candidates. It will be myself. It will be supervisor candidate Chris Kellstrom, the district attorney candidate Eric Jensen. It will be the superintendent of schools, Brian Caples.
Yep.
Right.
And
Bob
Hobsinger, who is
Holsinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I've met him several times. I know the name. But,
it's a tough one to look at.
I had it wrong, he's running for county clerk, register of voters.
Correct. It's a five panel candidate forum where. We will each give a few minutes of our background and our platforms, and then it will be meet and greet and people. And I think it's very novel idea to have several candidates there because, one person might be coming to look at Mr. Holsinger and listen to what he has to say, but now they've heard what I have to say or what Mr. Jensen has to say, and they can get their questions answered at that time and make their decisions. So,
and just so people know, this isn't a debate.
It is
not
a debate.
You guys are not going to be debating or anything. This is for people to go ask questions, get information from the candidates that are running in this office.
Yes.
Or offices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, what
and
else
that's
have we?
5 to 8 p.m. at Happy Valley Community Center.
And what day is that?
April 8th.
And if they want to get more information, who do they call?
More information, I will put a Facebook post out shortly to basically go over what we just said, and that'll have the date, time, and location, the actual address. I don't know it off the top of my head right now.
I don't either, but I probably can find it here in a few minutes.
So, but yes, it's just a very ingenious way for people to come out and see all the candidates in a very short period of time and hopefully make a decision, answer any questions that they have.
All right. Let's see. Well,
if I can look it up. Is there anything more you want to get out or talk about?
Well, yeah, I sure do. So part of my platform last time was increasing jail space, and I was absolutely dismayed at the inaction of the sheriff and the board of supervisors at the time. They were offered under AB 109 money way back then, upwards maybe a little more than $30 million to build a new facility, which could have been completed had they started at about the same time they did the new courthouse, because that's about ready to be finished very soon. But they balked on that grant money from the state because the CAO at the time said, we don't have the money to staff to fund the staffing of it after it's built. Well, here we are 5 years later and the jail's still full. There was money that was spread out over the county that would have covered that very well that apparently the new CAO found when he came into office. There was a lot of money. There was money there. So, again, part of my campaign this time is we need the state funding. We need a new jail. I started at that jail in 1990. It was about 5 years old, and it was full when I started.
Wow.
So they had people living in the clothing rooms that you held the prisoners' personal effects in. They had them bunked, stacked to the roof.
Now we just do catch and release, right?
Now it's catch and release, and most of the high percentage of the people in custody right now are sentenced people. So all the unsentenced people, nobody goes to jail anymore, especially the Prop 49.
So what do you think that gives the person out there that's not being prosecuted or put in jail? What mindset do you think that gives him after he goes and just gets released?
There's no accountability whatsoever. I want to reinvigorate our work release program that has pretty much gone in the dumps over the last 6-7 years. There's no accountability. So the guy's in jail. There's no room for him. So, hey, I want to go on work release. Well, the work release consisted of sending the inmates to do their time, by community service, right? So they each day, you know, they're supposed to work an 8-hour day and get a credit for one day. Well, you shoot them off to the VFW hall. They clean up, they do whatever they do, polish floors and take out the trash and, you know, paint, whatever they're going to do. And they're done after 2-3 hours, they're kicked loose and they get credit for that full 8-hour day. That's wrong. There's so much community beautification that we can,
use this labor use force and a punishment tool to
and benefit from.
Yeah.
And
because there's no room, they're not coming back. You know, a lot of places when they do that, they're able to leave like for 8 hours, but they got to be back in house by 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of that also comes down to the staffing levels. The sheriff's office recently, the employees, received, increase in wages, which was, I think, well overdue. The Shasta County Sheriff's Office has been the lowest paid law enforcement agency in the county since I started in 1990, you know, over 30 years ago. And they're finally starting to catch up.
Well, you know, if you look in light of what they've done with Health and Human Services, Health and Human Services, half the budget, you know,
yes,
and that's,
yes.
Are you in favor of a forensic audit on the county?
Yeah, absolutely. That would go back to possibly the grand jury too, to do an audit. But I do believe that's a wealth of money. Health and Human Services covers a broad spectrum of services. So I believe that, and I don't know why the past sheriffs have fought this, but when you get somebody in jail for drug crimes, that nature, yes, they've committed a crime, they're doing their time, but when they first come in, if they've been using for a while, they need some treatment. You know, they need to have that ability
to dry out.
Availability, yeah. for what I would like to see is Health and Human Services, and they've been trying to do this, is create a medically assisted treatment for these arrestees who qualify. Health and Human Services would come in with a doctor and find the right combination to assist these people get off of these illegal drugs or even legal prescription drugs. That's a big problem.
Right.
Meanwhile, they would bear the cost of their incarceration while they're undergoing this medically assisted treatment, which would alleviate some of the funds that are being tied up with the sheriff's office. And there's no reason that that they shouldn't have been in there 4 or 5 years ago doing this. It's been offered and offered to pay for by Health and Human Services. I would also like to see these programs get off the thing. You know, getting back to the appointment of the second appointment in this term of Michael Johnson, one of his main things was, hey, he wanted this navigation or life center thing that allegedly he was promised as part of his the incentive to get him to take the sheriff's office over. But that's been 7 months, and we haven't seen one. My opinion on that is we need the programs, but I also am the opinion, being close to knowing people with addiction, you know, it changed my views as a law enforcement officer over the years. You know, you see the drug addict. And
I think the only way you solve the problem is they have to want to solve it themselves.
And that's exactly where I was going. You cannot force somebody, and who's not going to, when they're in the clink and they're locked up, hey, here's this program that you can go through and get you clean, and you go through these steps, and out of, you know, 100 out of 100 to go, oh yeah, I'll do it, because they don't want to be in jail. But it comes down ultimately to that individual wanting the change and wanting to stop.
And some will and some won't.
Some will, some won't. And everybody has their different rock bottom. Everybody has their different threshold that they need to get to. But that does need to be instituted with this and offered to people that actually want to help.
We only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah,
I got one.
Pot.
Exactly.
Yep, okay, we're good.
We talked about McGreeny and his new position, and I want to wrap it up with that. What do you think about the effectiveness that they've had as far as you know, eradicating pot, which I'm not necessarily against. I'm not necessarily against pot. I think if you want to smoke pot, stay home, whatever. I'm against the cartels. I'm against the abuse of the environment. I'm against, you know, the payoffs and the big grows and all of that stuff. So what's your take?
You know, and that was part of the selling to the public that Mr. McGreeny was going to be the liaison with the sheriff's office to get the marijuana eradication team, which had been disbanded years ago, get that back.
By Modi. It was my understanding.
I don't know actually who.
It was before I retired. We'll let it go then.
And that was another big selling point is, Mike Johnson's going to come in and we're going to eradicate these illegal grows and the cartels and things that are moving around here. Well, it's been seven and a half months since he's been appointed and we haven't seen anything. We have seen zero.
No bust at all, nothing?
I'm not aware of any, but I am aware of information that has been provided to the sheriff's office regarding large scale grows and holdings
That's what I'm hearing whispering in the wind. There's some big grows. Yeah.
There are. In fact, a friend of mine reached out to me at the end of the summer and said, "Hey, you know, this is a property in Shingletown. I just sold it. There's a tremendous grow. I passed that information on and was just met with." We don't have the personnel. There's one person that's been reassigned in the sheriff's office to marijuana eradication, and one person cannot handle that. They've got some money from the board of supervisors to basically cover overtime. Well, the deputies are ridiculously understaffed and overpaid, overstaffed, overworked. And
well, maybe we'll see some changes now that we have a little new blood on the Board of Supervisors as well, because
yes.
That was the whole point of him going over, get a nice big fat raise, yep. And nothing has happened. And a huge
retirement spike.
And I'm sorry, but we've got 1 minute left. Okay. How can people get a hold of you?
They can find me on Facebook right now. It's John Green for Sheriff on Facebook. And that's basically where my information is going to be coming out. I had a website last time. I didn't continue it. It really didn't get that much action. So there may be one coming out soon.
Phone number?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.